Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. You'll notice that in Ephesians chapter 5, here in 1 Peter chapter 3, anytime the Bible deals with submission of wife to husband, in every case it says to your own husband. Verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. The first need of the man that we're going to cover today, the first need of the husband is honor. Honor. So if you're taking notes, write that down. The first need of the husband is honor. There's two words that I want you to think about when you hear the word honor. And if you were to study this word, look at its origin and meaning, there are two synonyms that define the word that help you understand the word honor. And those two words are respect and value. Respect and value. So when you hear the word honor, I want you to think of respect and value. Say that out loud. Respect and value. So when you hear honor your wife, honor your husband, and the matter of fact, the Bible says we should honor all men. I've got a series coming up that we're going to deal with honor. Honor is the currency of the kingdom. The only place in the Gospels where Jesus could not do something is recorded in Mark chapter 6 because they gave him no honor. And it didn't mean he didn't have the power to do miracles or to heal or save or deliver. It just means because they gave him no respect, that power was inoperative. And so honor is the currency of the kingdom. 1 Samuel chapter 2 teaches that when we give no honor to God, no honor can be received from God. It is a respect. God having made man in his own image, it is in the heart of man to be respected. That's whether you're married or unmarried. It's just in the heart of man to be honored, to be respected, because we have that in our DNA created by God. Matter of fact, we're living, in my opinion, in a day where there's a lack of respect, just in general. There's just a lack of respect for people in day-to-day dealings. And we should have respect and we should have honor unto all people. My daddy used to say it like this. He would say, don't you ever make someone earn your respect. He said, you give every man respect, and if he loses it, it's on him, but you won't make him earn it. I remember my daddy teaching me that as a teenager, that I was to respect everybody, and I was to prejudge no one thinking that they would have to earn my respect. That is the culture of today's society, and it is a backwards culture to the kingdom of God. So, getting back to marriage, the number one need of the husband is respect, is honor. Respect, we know that word. In case you're putting it in your notes, it's R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Hallelujah. And with that, value. Value meaning is that I see your importance. I see your importance in my life, in my marriage, in our home. It's valuing your husband. There are five love languages, and we dealt with these last week under communication and as the third need of the wife. And of those five love languages, there are two that wives need to be sensitive to when it comes to their husbands. And those two love languages are words of affirmation and physical touch. Words of affirmation and physical touch. Physical intimacy. Now, when you hear words of affirmation, it's words that build up. It's words that encourage. It's words that strengthen. I'm speaking to your value. You know, it would be a different world if everyone spoke each other's potential instead of our judgment. Amen. Speaking words of affirmation, encouragement, building one another up with our words. And as you'll learn last week with the four needs of the wife, you'll see this week that many of these needs, there's some overlapping, which means, husbands, I don't want you thinking, okay, she's supposed to do that, not me. No, you'll see there's some overlap in all of these needs that we need to be reciprocating into each other's lives. But honor is huge. And being built up with words, I cannot begin to tell you, ladies, wives, how important that is to your husband. Just like words of affirmation speak love, any other kind of words that do not bring affirmation, encouragement, actually say, I don't love you. It's not a matter of a man saying, okay, she's just not loving on me. The opposite is the idea, I am not loved. And I know that goes the same true for our wives here. So he says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And I love how the scripture articulates that, because never give honor to another man that you wouldn't give to your own husband. Never give honor to another man that you would not give to your own husband. Never embarrass your husband in front of another man. I don't care if you're at the auto shop and there's something wrong with the car and Hank gives his thoughts. Don't say, oh, hush, Hank, what you know about cars? You don't know everything. You don't need to say that, especially in front of another man. Out lost, asking for directions. I mean, I know men don't ask for directions, but still let him ask for the directions. Don't be asking some man for direction and in front of your husband say, Hank, I told you that wasn't the right way. Never demean or disrespect your husband, and especially in the presence of another man. Honor your husband. Now, 1 Peter 3 is going to talk about honoring the husband, not only with our words, but with our conversation. Notice what he goes on to say here. He says that if any obey not the word, that if any obey not the word. So for those that say, well, I don't have any respect for my husband. He's not saved. He's not in church. He's not in the word of God. The Bible says that if any obey not the word. So let's say you have a husband that's not living the faith. He's not, say, in the will of God. He says, they also may without the word, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. God is saying, wives, even if your husband's outside of my word, you can win him to my word if you'll do these things I'm telling you to do. And I believe that goes both ways. I believe that a saved husband can win his wife to Jesus if he'll conduct himself as Jesus would have him to conduct himself. And I believe the same is true on both sides. So, you know, and I've heard this so many times in counsel. I mean, more times than I can even count how many times I've heard this since I've been in ministry, where somebody says to me, well, I would do that, and it would be easy for me to do that if he would do this. Or, oh, I would do that, and it'd be easy for me to do that if she would do this. It's like there's always somebody waiting on the other to do the right thing. Somebody's got to be mature enough and strong enough and honor God enough to say, I'm going to be the one to do the right thing. And let the Holy Spirit convert the other one to the right way of doing things. But see, if you're going to wait on your spouse to get it together before you get it together, neither one of you will ever get it together, because you'll be playing the waiting game saying, you first, no, you first, no, you first. And then now you allow the actions of your spouse to become the excuse on why you're not doing what God called you to do. That's why marriage can't work without Jesus. That's why it can't work without God, because we need somebody that has authority in this equation that is bigger than the both of us. If you draw a triangle on a sheet of paper, that's a picture of marriage. You put one on one side of the bottom, put one on the other side of the bottom, and put God at the top of that triangle. And the closer you get to him, the closer you will inevitably get to each other. Otherwise, you're going to both be at the bottom saying, come on over here and do it my way. And another one will say, no, you come do it my way. And neither one will ever get anything done until you both agree with God. See, the beauty of the word is you don't have to agree with him and you don't have to agree with her. Why don't you just both choose to agree with the word of God, and you can find harmony in marriage. There's full potential for you and I having an abundant, happy, healthy marriage. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, notice here that it uses the word conversation. It says that even the man outside the word can be won by the conversation of the wife. Conversation has as much to do with how you say something than what you say. All right? Now, last week was hard for me, because I got up here and had to stand here for 45 minutes, not had to, but had the honor of standing here for 45 minutes to share the needs of the wife, and I'm not a woman. I'm 100% man, always been man, am a man. I'm not a woman, all right? I got a woman now. Her name is Chrissy Lafitte McMenis. Come on, somebody. And she's my everything, and she's the center of my life, and I adore her with all my heart. And before this service is over with, she's going to come up and join me, and we're going to pray over married couples today, and she's going to pray over our wives today. It's just going to be supernatural, because when she prays, things happen. But let me say this. When see, I talk to my wife, lost my train of thought because she just gets in my head, y'all. Come on, somebody. But when you talk about conversation, I'm going to say it like this. Hear me carefully now. You can say the wrong thing the right way, and it'll be received. In other words, somebody could tell me to go to Hades, but if they said it right, I'd be polite with them. They're like, excuse me, sir. Well, would you mind going to Hades? And I'd say, you know what? I almost was going there. And Jesus saved me, and I don't think I will, but hey, thanks for the gesture. You can say the wrong thing the right way, and people receive it. But no matter how right something is you say, if you say it the wrong way, it will never be accepted. We have to learn that conversation is more than what you say, it is how you say it. And a huge part of respect and honor in society, especially in marriage, is not only what you say, but how you say it. Wives, let me help you get on the inside of the mind of a man. All right? We don't like tones. Men, help me in here. Now, we're trying to have open and honest communication so that we can all understand each other better. And I'm caught in the middle up here on this platform and turning red and sweating and all this. So I got to say stuff you've been wanting to say but didn't say, and now the Spirit's got me saying it. Be careful that you recognize the sensitivity in not only what you say, but how you say it. And again, this is something that goes both ways, that we as men need to be sensitive. And I think my number one pet peeve in life is a tone. Especially if I'm in drive-thru and I'm putting an order in, and you give me a tone through that speaker, and I get to the window and you're mad that I put an order in. Look, I didn't ask you to take this job. I didn't make you fill out that application. I can't help it. I don't want cheese on my burger. Why are you giving me an attitude about it? You shouldn't have taken a job in customer service if you don't like people. But don't give me a tone just because I'm putting an order in. And so I'm the kind of person, you know, that I can't hardly take it when somebody just can think they have the right just to say something to me, edgy and mean-spirited and hard. It just goes all through me. I get in the flesh, forget I'm saved, and want to do things that's not right. Whether it's my staff or just out in public or at home, and I don't think I'm alone. I think that I speak for all men that it's not just what you say, but it's how you say it. And that's a part of that whole conversation. Conversation. Speaking words that show value and offer respect. And I cannot overstress this. Ladies, you may think it's a light thing. It ain't no big deal. And you may have just been that way your whole life and don't even know. But I'm speaking for your husband. He probably just is like up on the roof because he'd rather be up on the roof than inside the house with contention. That's biblical. We'll talk about that later, all right? Now, here in 1 Peter, rather, he goes on regarding this conversation, and notice what he says in verse 2. While they behold, talking about men that are out of the word, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, that word fear means respect, that your conversation is coupled, it's connected with respect and honor and fear, that what you say is connected to honor. You say what you say in an honorable and respectful way that builds value. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel. Before I go to verse 3, let me finish verses 1 and 2. I'm going to go back and read this from the Amplified. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over by discussion by the godly lives of their wives. When they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, defer to, revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, adore him, that is to admire, praise, and be devoted to, deeply love and enjoy your husband. And how many wives just left? There go two right now. All right. So, Because I know when I read all that, you're like, okay. The preacher didn't say nothing about that before I said I do. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reading the word. Amen. Hallelujah. I know all that sounded heavy, especially in the Amplified Bible. But the reason I read that is because in Ephesians 5, 1 Peter 3, where the Bible deals with the word submission, which becomes an ugly word in the body of Christ, particularly for wives, considering how that's been abused, it's been taught wrong, it's been managed wrong. You have men that have used the Bible to become dictators and oppressive and mean and abusive with their words and with their actions and have given God's word a bad view. But recognize that biblical submission is rest. Biblical submission is rest. It means I rest in the one that I am subordinate to or that I am submitted to. It is a word that represents strength, not weakness. We were saved by submission. If Jesus had not surrendered to the will of the Father, he would not have gone to the cross and we would not have been saved. But here's the thing, is that no husband has the ability to bear the rest of his wife, that his wife can submit herself, rest on him. No man has the ability to bear the I don't want to use the word weight, Jesus, bear the responsibility, yes, that's better, the responsibility, I started to say bear the weight of his wife, but it wasn't going good. If he's not resting in God, if he's not resting in Jesus. So this marriage is going to require that the husband be submitted to God, and now the wife is submitted to the husband as he submits unto God. This isn't a picture of oppression or some authoritative position that can bring about abuse. This is a beautiful picture of honor in the kingdom of God. It means I'm resting in. See, we have a different attitude toward people we rest in. You should have a different attitude toward the person that's actually employed you. No, amen. I mean, you know that coworker down the hall, she's been on your nerves for 3 months. And, you know, she probably knows that she's on your nerves, and you don't mind telling her that she's on your nerves. But the person that actually employed you and is responsible for you being employed, you know, you can put on the right face for that. You can say, hey, how you doing today? Good to see you, sir. You're like, but, you know, you shouldn't do that. I'm not saying you should do that, but I'm just saying we do. We give a respect for those that we know we're trusting in, we're relying on, and resting in. And in a pure, true relationship of rest, there's an honor, there's a respect to the one that I know I'm resting in. And that's what God is talking about here when it comes to marriage and the relationship of submission to her own husband. She's not resting or relying on anybody else. She's honoring her husband. And since he is her rest, she needs him built up. This ain't going over well. Since he's her rest, she needs him strong and built up and encouraged, because she knows the asset that he is to that marriage, that he is to her children, so she can't have him beat down. She can't have him wearied. You see, the disposition is, I got to keep my man strong. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for some claps in here. It was getting lonely up here. Now, let's continue to the second part. Because in verse 3, he says, who's adorning, because verse 3 is going to lead us into need number 2. Who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, the earring, the bracelet, the necklace, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, even God, a great price. Now, in the Amplified, that reads like this. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry, or changes of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. What's the word saying here? It's saying, wives, just like you seek to adorn yourself, decorate yourself, change your clothes, put on your apparel, check your makeup, check your hair, make sure you're looking your best. He's saying, yes, your husband desires that, and that's a benefit. That's one of the needs of a man. Not one of the four basic needs, but it's a part of a need, of the second need, and that is an attractive spouse. He's saying, just like you would invest in your appearance to look attractive and to be attractive, he's saying that there's actually a greater attraction from a man to that which is not corruptible or physical, which means a man will be more attracted to a meek and gentle spirit than he is the outward external appearance of a woman. This is good preaching now. I've got the word wide open. I'm reading from the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah, that's the book for me. See, this, everything's in the Bible. You've looked at men and said, what in the world is he doing with her? That old, she's got a meek and quiet spirit. And that's as attractive to men as some external factors. It's good preaching up in here today. So ladies, just like you would spend time in the mirror or putting on the right clothes, and listen, your husband is all for that. I've been saying for years, don't let Victoria be no secret. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But just recognize that in the mind of your husband, a meek and gentle, quiet, peaceable spirit is as attractive to anything that you could ever put on. Yes, amen. That's why the Bible says it's better for a man to dwell on the corner of a high roof than be down inside the house with a brawling or contentious woman. That's Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9. The word is saying that man would rather be, he'd be better off on the house, up on the roof, than down inside that house with a woman that's contentious and brawling. And y'all quiet. I'm the kind of person that when I'm going somewhere, I like to get there. Anybody like me? So I'm glad they got left lanes. And if you're driving slow, please get in the right one because I need that left lane open. I got somewhere I got to be. So I like to get there, and if the speed limit is 45, I'm going to press every if 45 is an orange, I'm squeezing every drop of juice out of 45. I can't advocate breaking a law up in here, but I'm not going to do 44.5. 45, I'm 45. You hear what I'm saying to you? Now, every once in a while, I get behind somebody going real slow, single highway, double line, can't pass, trying to get home, and they're just poking on down the road. I'm looking at this over there, and it says 45, and they're doing 30, and I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking about all the things I would do if I was in the flesh, you know, but I'm getting aggravated. But months ago, the Lord corrected me. He gave me a way of seeing slow-driving men. See, men normally speed. They're gone. But every once in a while, you'll get behind a slow-driving man. Anybody been behind a slow-driving man driving real slow? Most time, he's a little older. And it's not because older men can't drive fast. Because my papa was driving at 91, and you better not be in the road. Well, that car didn't have no good brakes, and he was flung all the time. So, but when you see an older man driving slow, there ain't but one reason why. And you need to pray for him when you see him. Don't get mad that he's going slow. Don't get aggravated. You lift your hands up and say, Lord, I lift that man up right now because I know he don't want to go home to that wife. I know that he's just barely going on down the road because he don't want to go home. So I've got now, I've just changed my mindset about slow driving men. I pray for him. I say, Lord, bless that man's marriage so that he'll want to get home and get out of my way. I'm being honest with you. I really think that. But see, a woman of a meek and quiet spirit that's peaceable, you know, like me trying to get home to Chrissy. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That leads us to number two, because he's telling a wife here in the Word how to dress spiritually and physically. And he's addressing the way you dress. And that needs to be addressed. Because we, you know, men are stimulated by sight. Yes. And I'm stimulated by sight. And Chrissy spins my head like it's on a swivel. And I like that. When I left the house this morning, she had on something. I said, look, keep that on all day. She was looking good. It was hard. I was late for 8 o'clock service. I said, Lord have mercy. Anyway. Men are stimulated by sight. But if you got on all these old mismatched sweats that you had since you left home 16 years ago, and you done put on a big old overcoat on top of that, and you put some kind of something in your hair because you're doing some kind of treatment to your hair, and it's all dripping down your head, and you get up in the bed with a peanut butter sandwich, I'm like, you want some? No, I don't want no peanut butter sandwich. I don't want that stuff in your hair. It's smelling, burning my sinuses. And what in the world are you wearing? Is it that cold in here? I can address the thermostat. You think just because you've been married 15 years, he's no longer stimulated by sight? You think just because you've been married a few years that the honeymoon is over? Honey, let the honeymoon just begin. You've got to change your mindset about that. We can't let that fire grow out. You can't even let it dim a little bit. Keep that thing kindled. I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, Pastor, I'm not 22 anymore. That's why they make dimmers. When certain things don't work, you just dim the lights. And you imagine the way it used to be. Because you know some folk, you know, they turn the lights on, they be like, hey, get that light back. Whoa. Turn that light off. Help me, Jesus. Woo. Sweating up here. All right, so think about your mental, spiritual adorning just like you put on your clothes, all right? While you do your lips in the mirror, say, Lord, help me with my mouth too.
If you were to ask me what is the number one problem that's facing marriages today, I would say it is offense. And offense is rooted in unmet expectations. The greater the relationship we have with someone, the higher our expectations are in that person. And it can't be truer when it comes to marriage. You know, God desires to meet our needs through relationships, through people, but that doesn't make individuals the source of our needs. In this series, we're going to talk about the responsibilities of the husband, the wife. We will take the Word of God and define the kingdom husband and the kingdom wife in this series, Kingdom Marriage. I want to encourage you to obtain your copy of this series and bring the kingdom of God into your home and marriage.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.